You sure your father will be directing you this year? Why don't you just lift your hands to him and tell him to open your eyes. Tell him to guide you, to direct you, show you the path.
Hallelujah. Open my eyes, oh Lord. Hallelujah. Open my eyes, oh Lord. Hallelujah. Open my eyes, oh Lord. I am ready to roll.
How many of us want the Father to guide us step by step this year? He will guide you. He said you will hear a voice from behind you saying, this is the way. There is a way. The Bible said the labor of the foolish wearieth all of them. Because they don't know what? They don't know the way into where, sir. You will find a way. I said you will find a way. In Jesus' mighty name. Please remain standing. Take your Bibles with me to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17 verse 8. I'll read from verse 8. We'll get down together to verse 16. I'll read in the verse. You come in the verse after. Exodus 17 verse 8 I read. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Verse 9, everybody. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Verse 10, so Joshua did as Moses said, as said unto him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and all went up to the top of the hill. Verse 11, came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Verse 12, but Moses' hand were heavy, and he took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and all stayed up his hands, and one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Verse 13. Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out of remembrance of Amalek from under the heaven. Father, there are some things you must put out of my remembrance for life. Is somebody in the house of God? I pray for you from the very depth of my heart. Honestly, tonight, because of the overwhelming nature of this text and the interpretation thereof, I felt more like praying for you. I felt more like praying for myself. And the prayer point is simple. Wipe out the memory of Amalek from me. The reason I won't take you straight into prayer is because if I ask you to pray, you'll not be able to pray with full intensity because you don't even know what Amalek means. But for God to say, rehearse this, rehearse it, say it again. Tell Joshua that I am committed to wiping out the remembrance of Amalek. It's important to know what Amalek means. And as I begin to interpret what Amalek means tonight, if by any means somebody here is battling with anything that looks like Amalek, I decree by the speaking forth of the word of God that Amalek's memory will be wiped out from your life. Wherever you are,
are under the sound of my voice today, I pray for you before you even know the meaning of Amalek. Because I know indeed somebody will be dealing with such issues tonight. May the Almighty God do what only Him can do and wipe out the remembrance of Amalek from your mind. You are not hearing me. I said He will wipe out the memory of Amalek from your life. Thank you, our God and our Father. Verse 15. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that himself will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. People of God, you must take interest in whatever Amalek means. For Jehovah to be committed to wiping out the remembrance of Amalek from your mind, putting it away from your memory, and making war with Amalek from generation to generation. It is important that you know who Amalek is. It is important that you understand the operation and the nature of Amalek. And every manifestation of Amalek around you. I want to decree by the speaking forth of his word tonight, that the memory of Amalek will be wiped out from your life. We are not here to play, and you cannot claim, by the time we begin to exegete the text, you will understand. You cannot claim that to some extent the Amaleks have not been finding a way, an expression in our lives. But tonight we will unmask them. We will shine the light on Amalek. And we will let Amalek know that his cunning and crafty approach in our lives. We will let him know that there's no more room for oppression in our lives. Amalek will not play with your generation. Amalek will not play with the next generation in your life. Your children will not have Amalek to contend with. Now, if you don't deal with Amalek in your generation, your children will have to deal with Amalek in their time. I come in the name of Jesus, and I take up war by his word against the spirit and the operation of Amalek in any form or shade. If you believe that, let me have a big amen in the house of God. Somebody say Jehovah Nissi. Yes, that is under what banner we shall overcome Amalek. He is called Jehovah Nissi. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? That is the God that I serve. His name is Jehovah Nissi. The one that we normally sing about in those days, we normally say here, his banner over me is love. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? Once I see his banner over me, I am confident that the victory is already mine. So long as the flag of Jehovah Nissi is still standing tall on Calvary's mountain, I am very assured, sir, that victory is mine. So long as the blood that stained Calvary's mountain has not lost its power, I'm very sure that Jehovah Nissi is still my God. So long as the resurrection cannot be disputed, so long as the fact that Jesus ascended to heaven leading captivity captive cannot be disputed, Jehovah Nissi is still my God. Help me touch somebody around you and tell the person you serve Jehovah Nissi. Tell someone around you, the Lord is your banner. And that will be my discussion tonight. Please sit down. God bless you. That will be my discuss tonight. In Exodus chapter 17, in verse 3 to verse 7, that is sequel to the text that we have just read now. In Exodus chapter 17, verse 3 to 7, the Bible says, and the people thirsted for water, and the people murmured. The people thirsted for water, and the people murmured against Moses, and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? Verse 4. Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me Verse 5. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Verse 7. And he called the name of the place Massah at Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord amongst us or not? Verse 8, everybody, please read the first three words you see in verse 8. Can we do that one to go? Stop there, sir. Everybody read it again, verse 8, the first three words. Please, can you read it loudly again? Then came Amalek. When did Amalek come? Amalek came when they began to murmur. Amalek came when they began to doubt the Lord. I'm going to get a little bit close to you today. In 2014, Amalek will not play around your house. I'm about to unmask weak secrets of warfare to you tonight. I'm about to let you know how people invite trouble into their lives. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, your eyes will be open indeed to comprehend scripture and apprehend truth in the precious name of Jesus Christ. The scripture before us is very simple. If you look at the scripture very well, you realize that the children of Israel had just come out of the land of Egypt in chapter 14. They had just sang the song of victory. God has just given them victory over Pharaoh and his army. And then Miriam took up a song, sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horses and his riders as he thrown into the sea. For the first time we saw Israel singing. For 440 years we've never heard any form of singing in the midst of the children of Israel. You see, even though for 440 years they've never had a reason to sing, for the first time in their life, God has given them a real reason why they should sing. God has asked me to announce to somebody that you will have a real reason to sing this year. Let me even say it from the word go. You will have a real reason to sing from this month. You will have a real reason to sing. When the Lord turned again our captivity, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. Our tongue was filled with singing. God will give you a reason to sing. I said Jehovah will give you a reason to sing. And so Israel began to sing when God gave to them the victory over Pharaoh and his army. They crossed the Red Sea. And as soon as they crossed the Red Sea, they alighted in a place called Rephidim. Say it with me, Rephidim. Yes, they alighted in a place called Rephidim. And as soon as they got to Rephidim, two terrible things happened among the people of God. My pastor, the Bible makes me to understand that the first thing that happened was that they murmured against God. Exodus chapter 17 in verse 3, the Bible says they thirsted for water and they murmured against God. So the first thing we saw there among the children of Israel was that murmuring came into the camp. Murmuring came into the camp. It was almost going to become the first account of murmuring in human history. And so they began to murmur against the God who has just parted the Red Sea for them. Let me ask you a question here. What is water in the sight of a God who dried up a sea? Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? Why should you murmur against a God who was able to part the Red Sea, cause the waters of the Red Sea to become standing walls and immediately dried up the ground? The God who dried up the ground before you, can't he cause the ground also to bring you water? Oh, the Bible says, if you read the book of Psalms, David told us why what happened happened. David told us why they went into murmuring. David said they soon forgot the mighty works of God. The reason for murmuring is forgetfulness. Am I talking to anybody here? You murmur when you forget what God has done. You murmur when you forget that God helped you to kill the lion and God helped you to kill the bear. You forget all of that and you get into a murmuring mode. But I will show you the danger of murmuring today. And so the Bible said they kept on murmuring, and eventually God said, Moses, don't worry about those people. Just go to the rock. Even Christ, our rock. He said, you strike the rock and water will come from the rock. Because in him consists of all things that you will ever need, but for life and godliness. Am I talking to somebody here? So if you have the rock, everything you will ever need is in the rock. So he was trying to tell them that let me put it this way for you. This is a prophetic message to let us know about Christ who was to come. Is that okay, sir? In whom will be locked up all the virtues of grace and all that humanity will ever need. He says, strike the rock. You see, that's why you never strike him twice at the same time, because he is not to be crucified twice, which was the undoing of Moses when he did it the second time. He said, no, you are not to strike him twice. Now that you've done it the second time, your assignment on earth must be over. Because Christ must not be crucified twice. I don't want to go into all of that. So he said to him, he said, strike the rock. And as soon as he struck the rock, water began to come out of a rock. And the Bible says they began to drink from the rock. The next thing that happened was that in verse 7, they began to chide Moses again. And the next question they began to ask is, are you even sure the Lord is among us or not? So not only do we see a situation where there was doubt, there was murmuring in the midst of those people, we now begin to see doubt at work. And you know, anything that is of doubt or unbelief is not of faith, and whatever is not of faith is sin. And the Bible makes us understand in the book of Hebrews, I think verse 6 or so, he that must come to God must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of what? Those that diligently seek him. If you must come to God, you must first believe that God is. They doubted God and they were asking whether the Lord is among us or not. Somebody is there right now. Are you sure God is still with me? Somebody's there right now. Are you sure that God is still interested in my life? Somebody is still there right now. Are you sure that God is concerned about me? Are you sure God has the power to deal with this problem? Are you sure that everything God has been speaking over me, the prophecies that are still hanging, are you sure that God is amongst me or not? The Bible says, and while they were doubting, sir, with murmuring in place and doubting in place, the Bible introduced a very powerful statement, a phrase in verse 8. The Bible says, then came Amalek. Then came Amalek. When came Amalek? When murmuring began to increase. When doubt began to increase, then came Amalek. Oh, God have mercy here. I feel like preaching this thing here, sir. Then came Amalek. That could have even been the title of my message tonight. But we have an overarching subject we want to deal with so that we don't make that the key subject. But then came Amalek, sir. When came Amalek? When murmuring began to increase in the camp. When murmuring began to increase in the nation, when murmuring began to increase in the family, then came Amalek. When doubt began to increase, when we began to consider whether we should help God or not, whether we should find a way to solve the problem without God or not, when doubt began to increase, the Bible said, then came Amalek. Help me touch somebody, say, then came Amalek. Oh, come on, say like a minute, say, then came Amalek. Let me give you a little introduction about who Amalek or to who Amalek is. If you remember very well in the book of Genesis chapter 36 in verse 9 to 12, my emphasis will be verse 12 now. The Bible says, and Timnah was concubine to Eliphaz, Esau's son, and she bear to Eliphaz Amalek. Am I talking to some? Ah, God have mercy. I read again Genesis chapter 36 in verse 12. And Timnah was a concubine to Eliphaz. And Eliphaz happens to be Esau's son. And she bear to Eliphaz Amalek. Are you getting what I'm saying, sir? She bear to Eliphaz Amalek. These were the sons of Ada, one of Esau's two wives. Is that okay? Because Esau married from the women that God will not want him to marry from, Hivites and all kinds of ites. And so one of the women happens to be Ada by name. And Ada's sons turned out to be, one of them turned out to be Amalek, who was indeed the child of Timnah, who happens to be a concubine to Eliphaz. Now the point is this. If you remember very well, the man that we call Esau, you will get a better understanding of where we're going to and why God will want to wipe out the memory of Amalek for a long time. You remember very well that Esau was that man who lost his birthright to the man called, Jacob. And don't forget that until Jacob came, until they met face to face, and because Jacob met with God, and so God reversed the anger of Esau and turned the fury of an enemy into a friend. Now, until that happened, sir, Esau was carrying the bitterness of what Jacob did to him for years. Now, this is what happened, sir. Esau kept on infecting everyone around him with the knowledge of what Jacob had done to him. He told his children. Esau told his wife. In actual fact, sir, Esau married in protest to his father. He decided to marry in protest because his father, remember, Isaac, said, "Don't allow my son to marry." Am I correct, sir? Abraham said, "Don't allow my son to marry from the midst." So it has been established that there are some people you don't marry from. Are you catching what I'm saying here? Abraham had established it. You don't marry from some people here. He said, travel as far back as you can. Go back to my kindred and take up a wife for my son, who's Isaac. I know that Isaac had passed the same culture over, because we saw now that in the case of Jacob, he had to go back to his mother's. Oh, come on, am I talking to somebody in the house of God? He had to go back to his mother's people. That is Laban. Am I correct, sir? My question is this, sir. If he went back to his mother's people, which is Laban, and don't forget that Abraham had told his servant that that is where to marry from, it is very obvious that Isaac had told his children where you should marry from. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God here? So Isaac had told his children where to marry from. But because of the pain in the heart of Esau, Esau rebelled. Esau caused his father pain by choosing to marry from strange people. Not only did he marry one, he married two. I'm going somewhere. And he infected every one of them with the pain of what Jacob had done to him. I have a brother called Jacob. He stole my birthright. He stole my blessing. I have a brother called Jacob. He stole my birthright and he stole my blessing. He kept on infecting people. And I want you to imagine how that the bitterness kept on rising amongst his children. The Bible made us understand that when Jacob was coming from the house of Laban, he heard that Esau was also coming. Fear gripped the heart of Jacob. And the Bible said Jacob had to send some people with peace offering and all kinds of stuff. Eventually sent his wives, you understand that, to see if by peradventure there will be a change of heart in Esau. Jacob did not realize that God had to encounter him before Esau came, so that once Jacob was sorted out with God, it would be easy to sort out Esau. Am I going on with somebody in the house of God? Okay, so Jacob sorted it out with God. The relationship between Jacob and Esau and God was fixed. That gave God the platform to fix the relationship between Jacob and Esau. Who knows what Esau was coming to do? But as soon as he saw Jacob, the hand of God that was upon him, because Jacob had owned up to God. Jacob had said, "Lord, indeed, you know, I am Jacob." Because God asked him a question, said, "What is your name?" You've been trying to cover up your identity. You've been trying to make people believe that you are something that you're not. And he said, "Well, Lord, this is me." Eventually, when he owned up, God put the blessing on his life. As a result of which, God changed the heart of the man called Esau. It was on this premise. The Bible makes us understand, having known very well now, that there's been a long-drawn battle between the family of Esau. Even though Esau and Jacob had reconciled, I want to ask you a question. Where will Esau have the opportunity to go around all his children and those he has infected to tell them that, listen, issues have been sorted out? So those ones kept on looking for opportunities to deal with the children of Israel. Am I talking to somebody here? Every battle that has been coming from places you don't even know about. Arrows that are being thrown from strange places because somebody in your line offended, and so you are the victim of the offense. Today there will be an overturning in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You are going to understand, sir. I'm sure everybody under the sound of my voice know that there's a man called Haman. Do you know Haman? Now, Haman is called the Agagite. Is that okay, sir? And if you check very well, you get to discover that the Amaleks are the fathers, or they are connected with Hagag. Is that okay, sir? Oh, come on, Lord. If you remember when Saul was told to go and wipe out the Amalek, the Bible says that he speared a man called who, sir? Hagag. Do you understand that? So they are called the Hagagites. That was why, sir, because it's been confusing Christians for a long time. Why will a man like Mordecai, why will a man like Haman just see Mordecai and hate him? Are you here with me? What has Mordecai done? Don't forget that Mordecai was not working in the government. Mordecai does not have a position, it's not a salary. Mordecai was always at the gate, minding his own business. Why should a man who has just been promoted by the president to such a high-ranking position be worried about somebody like that? Just later we got to discover that Mordecai is of the descendants of the Hagagites and the Amalekites. And don't forget that they've been passing on this bitterness from generation to generation. Anywhere you see an Israelite, wipe them out. Anywhere you see the descendants of Jacob, that was why Pastor, sir, that was why Haggai did not stop at fighting Mordecai. The Bible makes us understand that he went to secure the signature of the king, went to secure the decree of the king to wipe out the entire people of Israel. This was the only opportunity. Pastor, they came so close. Pastor, who would have ever thought that after hundreds of years, that bitterness was still locked up somewhere? In one of the descendants of Amalek, one of the descendants of Esau, who would have ever thought that for hundreds of years, that thing was still fresh, and that they were only looking for an opportunity to implement vengeance? That should not be strange to you if you look at the case of the children of David, how that when Tamar was violated by her brother, what's his name, sir? Amnon. Am I correct, sir? When she was violated, the Bible says Absalom heard about it. When Absalom heard about it, Absalom called his brother and said, "My brother, God bless you. How will you do, my brother? I just had you violated, my sister." "That's okay. It's all right. No problem, my brother. God, you see, the Lord bless you. You know, we are children of the king. That's okay. What did she even come to do in your house?" He made him to feel comfortable. This was on for 2 solid years. Looking for a favorable occasion where he would strike back. I'm about to pray for you. That's what I'm saying. Looking for a favorable occasion where he will strike back. And the Bible says it was during the occasion of his, I think, a birthday or something like that. He now invited his brother to come. You know what happened eventually. That was how Amnon was wiped out from the occasion. Can I pray for you that everyone who has been nursing bitterness anywhere, looking for an occasion to topple your life, to bring pain into your life, may the God who sees their intention overrule such wicked intentions. Their hands will not perform their enterprise. I said their hands will not perform their enterprise. If you receive that, shout a big amen in the house of God. Let me begin to tidy up this way. So we see a situation whereby Amalek stayed quiet. Watch this, sir. Amalek knows that you don't attack Israel anyhow. They know how strong Israel is. Because don't forget, they come from the same father. They know that Israel carries the blessing. So you don't attack Israel anyhow. But that there's something that can compromise the covenant that is upon Israel. And that, watch out for that. Whenever that is in place, then you should come. So long as Israel is living holy, don't get there. So long as Israel is still quoting scripture, don't go there. So long as Israel is still living right, don't go there. So long as Israel is still praying in tongues, don't go there. But there's something the covenant over their lives forbid. Help me, Father. There is something that the covenant over their lives forbid. As powerful as they are, as mighty as the locks on their hair, on their head is, that locks forbid a razor. As anointed as that man is, that there's something he shouldn't do. The covenant and the consecration of his life forbids him from talking too much. Others can talk too much, but he cannot. So don't attack him when he's quiet, because in quietness is his strength. Don't attack him when himself and his wife are living right. That is where their strength lies. Don't attack her when she is living right. That is where our strength lies. But you see, we have studied her enough to understand what violates the covenant and the consecration of our life. Mm-hmm. We put her under pressure, and under pressure she told us what it was. Then came Amalek. Amalek doesn't come all the time. And Amalek doesn't choose to come. Amalek I invited. The way Israel leave, signals to Amalek that they should come. Thank you, Father. I'm helping somebody tonight. The covenant on your life forbids certain things. Pastor, that is why you will make the greatest mistake in your life to come to church and allow the way others live to influence the way you live. The consecration on your life is different from the consecration on my life. We are all Jews, but among the Jews there are people called Levites. And of the tribe of Levites, Levites are not to marry people who are not virgins. It is the calling of a Levite. A Levite must not marry one who is not a virgin. Are you hearing me, sir? But an Israelite can marry anyone. That was why Boaz could marry a woman who had had a husband before. Are you getting what I'm saying, sir? That is not a violation of the covenant of Boaz. Have mercy, Lord. But for a Levite, marrying Ruth will be a violation of the consecration and the covenant over his life. That can open the door for an Amalekite. What one does and goes scot-free with, you can do because you may not go scot-free with it. Say with me, consecration. Oh, come on, talk to me. Tonight may not be the kind of, you know, yeah. So say with me, consecration. The reason why Amaleks have been around you lately, messing up with your life and your career and business, might just be because you have played with the consecration and the covenant upon which your life is supposed to be established. Other Christian sisters can go around with brothers. Don't you hear what Paul the apostle said? Paul said, don't we have the right like other apostles who go around with ladies? And he said, we see them. You remember that, sir? Paul said that. He said, we see other apostles. He said, they go around with ladies, hang holding hands with them, do not cast a stuff with them. Paul said, don't we have the right? Paul said, all things are lawful. All they are doing is lawful, but not for me. It is not expedient. To sustain the oil of my life, to sustain the continuity of the breakthroughs, the favor, the open doors that God has given to me, there are things that have been concluded. They are non-negotiable. They must never be found in my life. You can drink them, I can't. You can touch them and carry anointing oil to rub your hand, hoping to wipe it out, I can't. You can put your mouth in that mouth and, you know, and still use it to preach, I can't. Amen. You can lie on the same bed and play, you know, with somebody else's wife. You can. And you can still preach and things will still happen. But I can't. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? Yes, sir. Because for me, it is a violation of my consecration and covenant. Oh, come on. Now I'm missing you out. I said, I'm missing you out. Touch your neighbor. Say, then came Amalek. Mm-hmm. Say, then came Amalek. Then came Amalek. Then when you get into that zone, you open the doors for Amalek. Is that okay, sir? Pastor, for me, giving is not something we contemplate. For me, tithing is not a matter for contemplation. If you like, come up with one new theory or teaching that says tithing is Old Testament. Good luck to you. It's been working for me. You can carry it on with your life. And after all, if I give God 10% of my income, am I complaining? For you, you may not. Giving God your first fruit may be too big for you. For me, it doesn't mean anything. The day I begin to play with things like that, then comes Amalek. Then came Amalek. Then came Amalek. When did Amalek come? The Bible said when they began to murmur and when they began to doubt God. One family where there's too much of murmuring. The rice, there's no soup. The soup, there's no salt. The salt, is it new one? The new salt, why is it looking too fresh? The fresh one, why is there water inside? The water, the Ragolis water, is it Ragolis we'll be drinking every time? Can't we have Nestle? Nestle, is it Nestle? Don't you know that they brought Nestle, a new version of Nestle? This bottle thing is almost frustrating me. Why? You never, murmuring. No thanksgiving, no appreciation. I'm going to share with you today, sir. Wherever you see murmuring, watch out for Amalekites. Because they feed on murmuring. Amalekites can't survive in a life where there's praise. Amalekites can't survive in a family where there's gratitude. Amalekites can't survive in a place where there's thanksgiving. In a church where they constantly praise God, Amalekites can't come there. In a ministry where they constantly show gratitude to God, Amalekites can survive. But just go into the state of murmuring and complaining. And let the wife complain about the husband. He gave me money, but the man's income is 20,000 naira. He gave you 18,000 out of it. What is the problem? Is it because he gave me 18,000 naira? You're asking for food? Do you know how much women are receiving today? Some women, their husband, that is the money they use to clean their nails. But that's where your husband is. Madam, the reason why you may never see 200,000 is because you are not full of gratitude with 20,000. Then comes Amalekite. Keep on blaming your husband. Then comes Amalekite. Keep on blaming your wife. Then comes Amalekite. Keep on complaining about everything. Then comes Amalekite. Your complaint was that you don't have a house. And God has given you a house now. The next thing is complaining where there's no AC inside my house. And then God blesses you with an AC now. And the complaint is that I went to the house of so-and-so person and I saw a 45-inch television. Oh God, why are you doing me like this? Why is my life like this? Lord, everybody has 45 inches. I'm the only one that has 24 inches. That's why the Amalekite comes. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? I went to my friend's house and I seen them eating bondo. I saw them eating chicken and chickpeas. And I saw them eating, talk to me, Pastor, what kind of things do they eat there? They were eating burger. They were eating chicken with cheese and mayonnaise was inside. It's only in this house that whenever you eat leaves, there's nothing inside. It's only leaves. You are eating leaves as if you're a goat. Am I talking to somebody? Then comes Amalekite. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? Lord, look at me. I'm 25 years old. I'm 30 years old, Lord. Nobody has come to marry me yet. What kind of life is this one, Lord? The Bible said because they've forgotten. You have also forgotten, sister and brother, that at least the Lord has given you a job. He has not allowed you to be in a bad shape. Your hair are not scattered. You are not calling Saturday Monday. You have not lost track of your imagination. Then comes Amalekite. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? Ah, yes, Lord. Father, what kind of car am I using? Is it driving or pushing? This car is not working. The battery is always failing. Everything is not working. Lord, when I'm driving, the tires are shaking. What kind of life is this, Lord? Is this only me you are punishing like this? Stretch your eyes out of the window and look at people who are more handsome than you do, who are more degrees than you do, and they are trekking on their feet. Then comes Amalekite, because you are not full of gratitude, no thanksgiving. Once your cry was, give me a husband. Now God has blessed you with a husband. When was the last time you look at your husband and say, I bless God for you? At least I'm no more in the market. Bless God for you, my husband. He may not be as short as you want him to be. He may not be as slim as you want him to be. He may have pot belly. He may be too tall, too short. Yoruba, Hausa, Igbo. You may have just gotten an information that your former boyfriend is now the minister of state. And now you're beginning to murmur because the guy you are hooked up with, his own time has not come yet. By the time his time comes, your minister of state will be nothing compared. And so you begin to murmur. You know, if not be anything, no. The person who have don't marry, now he be minister of state now. Come on, bless God, sister. That at least you are married. Who knows if the minister of state will have ended up with you. Come on, somebody in the house of God. The Bible said, then came Amalekite. God bless you with the church. What more do you want, child of God? You are in a church like this. Look back at when you came into this church. Look back at your history. One of the ways by which you used to know that God has brought you to your place is that when you look back at where you came from and what you were when you came to that church, that's how to know that God, this is my house. This is my Rehoboth. I came in here single. God has made me double. I came here broke. God has blessed me. I may not be a multimillionaire, but I'm not begging. This is my place. When was the last time that you lifted up your hands and blessed God for your church? When was the last time that you lifted up your hands and gave God praise for your pastor? Then comes Amalekite. You are in the church.
I don't know. I don't pray. Say, may God give me 10 billion naira. Never give me. I don't know what kind of church is this.
But nobody's chasing you right now. Look at what the Lord has done for you. Look at where he's brought you from. Look at where he's brought you to. Can you understand where he's taking you to? It's a matter of time. The Bible says, yet a little while, and he that shall come, he will certainly come. He will not tarry. Your husband may not have come, but God is working on your character. Somebody shout, Jehovah Nissi. Say like you mean to say, Jehovah Nissi. Oh yes, and they give God praise. The Bible said they began to murmur, my pastor. Murmur about everything. Oh, the church is too hot. And so they brought you AC. The place is too cold. Now the place, the light, waiting there happens. Said, why too much light today for this church? Initially, the place too day dark. Now the light's too much. How about this effigy too much? How about why do we spend that kind of money for church? Why are we using plastic chair? Shouldn't they have saved money? Can't we get bench? They bring you bench. My buttocks are paining me. When will anybody ever please you? Murmuring and complaining. That's why Amalekites are coming. That's why Amalekites are not too far. Somebody shout, Jehovah Nissi. You need to get online today. You need to get on your Twitter, get on the church Twitter, and tell them, I changed my mind. No more murmuring. I changed my mind. Jehovah Nissi is my God. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God here? I'm not going to do anything to attract Amalekites anymore. Alabo Shanda here. The Bible says that they carried oil and poured it on Jesus. And the Bible says a thief opened his mouth. By the name Judas, he said, why should they pour that kind of oil on one man? They should have sold the oil and give it to poor people. The Bible says he spoke. And funnily enough, you know, that is what normally happens in church. I learned they bought that speaker for how much? When we get poor people for the house of God, you are not concerned for the poor, you are a thief. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God here? If you are concerned for the poor, when was the last time you carried 1,000 naira and gave to the welfare team? It takes a good speaker to attract the people that have money that will enable us to reach the poor. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? You can't have a church where everybody's broke and you want to help the poor. And if you're going to attract those who have it, then they are not going to come to an environment that is not properly kept together. Because excellence provokes generosity. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God? We want to reach more people out there. We have a vision to reach more people with foodstuff. We gave 500 families last year. We intend to reach more people. Broke people can't feed broke people. Am I talking to somebody in the house?
I hear that microphone call so. See, now what are they talk with that? That money now, she be the whole career. You know how many people that money go feed? How much you don't give to feed the poor? You. The spirit of Tifri. Spirit of Tifri.
No, but you listen. It's in the Bible. The Bible says, for he did not care for the poor because he was a thief. A spirit of Tifri. So don't forget this. What is it that normally attracts the Amalekites? Say it again, sir. Madam, the money may not be enough for the fact that the money even came. You will kneel down. Sweetheart, God will bless you. You don't collect from a man, no matter how small it is, and then make the man feel small again. You collect small things from a man and make him, because every man expands to the size of gratitude. We expand. Ah, sweetheart, God will bless you. Your knees are too, they are too callous. They can't go, because you are in 21st century. Because you are eating meat pie. You can't kneel down and say, thank you, sweetheart. Because you earn more than your husband. So what he gives you, what is that to me? That's chicken shit. That's one-tenth of my income. You honor him. For this cause, I bow my knees before the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Knees are bowed to fathers. You can't bow your knees because you are calling him Mike, Sam. That's your husband, Sam. So your children too grow up, look at your husband, Sam. We have lost respect. Pastor, I need deliverance from... There's no deliverance anywhere. Correct your attitude. Your family will be fixed. Get rid of murmuring and the Amalekites will return. They murmured and doubted. Then came the Amalekites. If they will start praising God and start having faith, then go at the Amalekites. Please permit my English. Sir, your wife gives you her body. Your wife gives her body to you as a burnt offering. Anything you want to do with it, just do unto the Lord. And you finish like a cat, you wipe your mouth as if nothing has happened. Then cometh Amalekite. Come back to your house. You meet your bedroom fixed. Pillows kept clean. Everything in the house kept clean. It is a goat and machine that fixed it. United. You can't even see. Pastor Sunday said, when they saw, they began to... When the man saw, he came back to give thanks. You've not been able to give thanks because you can't see what is changing in your house. Bulbs have changed in your life. You can't see. You are see in your mind, you are still using a black bulb. And the bulbs have been changed about 7 times. Then come at Amalekites. Sweetheart, come. God bless you. Thank you for this great thing you've done. I appreciate you. I see what you're doing. And then let the generosity in a man find expression. Drop some money without her asking for it. So that this one is for you. Don't use that money for this house. For you. And madam, you don't collect that kind of thing. Say, 10,000. Which? Sweetheart, come. What to make her carry this one? Do na nail I go fix her.
Then cometh Amalekite. You will go on your knees. Ah, sweetheart. Sweetheart, don't go yet. Father, I pray for my husband. Sweetheart, God will bless you. God will increase you. Ah, sweetheart, the days are coming in the name of Jesus Christ when a million naira will come from your hand freely. The man will say amen. You have just given him a vision. And trust me, men here can testify. The moment you put that one in prayer, it becomes our pursuit. Wait till I go carry this one, dude. That's why you will never see another one. Then cometh Amalekites. Murmuring. And this small TV if you buy. So that you tell me, say they go buy car. So now this small TV you buy. Then cometh Amalekites. Thank you, our God and our Father. In closing, the Bible makes us understand Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 17. That remember what the Amalekites did to you on your trip. I'm closing, stand. Remember what the Amalekites did to you on your trip from Egypt. They attacked you when you were tired and exhausted. They attacked you when you were tired and exhausted and killed all of you who were lagging behind. Are you seeing how Amalekites operate? I'm about to pray for you. They attacked you when you were tired and what, sir? Exhausted. And when you were what, sir? Lagging behind. That is why, Pastor, anytime, pastors, 2014, any member of the church that you see is beginning to reduce their commitment to church, sir, is a potential candidate for the Amalekites. You run after them. You run after them. If you know of any member of the church who is beginning to reduce their commitment, well, I don't think I should be coming all the time to the choir, that's a candidate for the Amalekite. The mission of the Amalekite is to make you reduce your commitment to God. You see, overactivity in the house of God does not kill. It is inactivity that kills. Because the Bible says it was when kings went to war and David decided to stay back, that was when the Amalekites caught up with him. If you are constantly in the house of God, it can be tiring. But the truth of the matter is that it is your defense. There's no better place to be in that than the house of God. That's why they were strong in the apostolic day, because they were always in the church every day. He said, you see how the Amalekite attacked you when you were tired. Please, when you are tired, make sure you have someone praying along with you. That's when the Amalekites attack. When people are tired. They attack when you are exhausted. When you are becoming tired and exhausted. When you are beginning to... The Bible says, and Peter followed from behind. When you start saying, I don't think I should come to fellowship anymore. The Amalekites are playing a game around you. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1 to 4. The Bible makes us understand that, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded. Please take note of this now. When David went out to war, before he came back, the Bible said the Amalekites have invaded Ziklag and they are taking the women captive, their sons and their daughters. Now listen to me. Amalekites are thieves. They steal what you already have gotten. That's their job. And how do they attack, sir? When there's murmuring, number two, sir. When there's doubt, number three, what? When you're tired, number four, what, sir? When you are exhausted, is that okay, sir? Number four, when you're lagging from behind. Number five, when you lose your focus. David was supposed to be watching over his family. David got too busy with business and did not have time for his wife. God will prosper you this year. You will travel like you've never traveled before this year. Particularly for our men. But please, as God is making you travel around, always make sure you travel with your wife around. She may not go everywhere with you, but let her go everywhere in you. And every time you come back home, sir, compensate the woman that you left at home. Compensate her. Like I'm causing trouble. Let me close. Thank you, Father. So you've seen how Amalekites operate, right? Can you measure the five things now? How do they attack you by what, sir? Through what? Murmuring, number one. Number two? Number three, tiredness when you're tired. Number four, when you're exhausted. Number five, number four, when you are lagging behind. Number five, what? When you are distracted, when you lose your focus. When you have a goal and you turn your eyes away from it. The Bible says when he took his eyes away from Jesus, he began to sing. That's Amalekites for you. Tonight, can I pray for you? My time is up. People of God, the Bible says that, let me tell you how to deal with the Amalekites. It's true. The power of Jehovah Nissi. The Bible says when Amalekites came like that, taking advantage of all those opportunities, you know what God said to Moses? He said, Moses, I want you to lift up the rod of God in your hand. Lift it up. Let Joshua be fighting on the ground. Moses, what must not go down is the rod of God. That's how to deal with Amalekites. Keep the rod high. That's how to deal with Amalekites. Make sure the rod is up. When the rod is lifted up, where will your eyes be? That's why I say, don't let the rod go down. Because once the rod is down, your eyes will be in the direction. But you don't receive help and victory and dominion until you do what David says, I will look up to the hills. So Jesus puts it this way, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. And whosoever looks at him shall be what, sir? Saved. That's why the Bible also says, looking unto who, sir? Did he say look or looking? Keep the rod up. Keep Jesus as your focus. Keep looking unto Jesus. Keep the name of Jesus high. Never lose your focus, because the rod is your banner. And the rod is called the rod of God. That's why it's called Jehovah Nissi, the one who banners over us. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God here? And if it's your banner, the reason why it's your banner is so that that's where your eyes should be. No matter what you're going through in 2014, keep your eyes on the one that will rescue you. Am I talking to someone in the house of God tonight? And the Bible says, so long as the rod was lifted up, so long as Jesus was lifted up, so long as the cross remained your focus, so long as the resurrected Savior remained your focus, the Bible says, and Joshua wiped out everybody. Listen, sir, so long as they kept the rod of God up, everything they were doing physically began to produce results. If you will keep Jesus up and above you this year, if you keep him as your focus, go to work and see how God will be at work with you. Am I talking to somebody in the house of God here? Go to work and see how God will be at work in you. Have I been able to bless you enough tonight, please? My time is done and I must let you go now. Can I pray for everyone? If you permit me to pray for just 2 minutes. Is that okay for every one of us? How many of us want to see the Amalekites back out of our lives? How many of you, sincerely speaking, would say, Pastor Sam, from what I have seen in the word of God now, I think I have been responsible for attracting Amalekites to my life. Wave your hands at me. You can see that now, sir. So are you ready to put Amalekites to flight in 2014? Can I have a yes if you are sincere? Yes. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, with our eyes on the cross, the banner of our days, with our eyes on Christ, the one who was crucified, whose blood was littered upon the tree and flowed upon Calvary's mountain. The one that the Bible says he opened his mouth and said, Telestai, it is finished. The one that was buried and rose again on the third day. With our eyes focused on him, we declare today the removal and destruction of the spirit of the Amalekites from around us. Every oppression of the spirit of the Amalekites in your life, it is destroyed in the name of Jesus. With the banner lifted up, with gratitude in our hearts, with the restoration of thanksgiving in our hearts, we banish every spirit of the Amalekites. Be gone from our lives. Amalekites, be gone from our lives. We take authority over you in the name of Jesus. You shall never steal from us again. You will never steal our joy. You will never steal our increase. You will never steal our next level.
in the name of Jesus Christ, you will never have the memory of the Amalekites again. They are wiped out from you in the name of Jesus. This year 2014, the Amalekites you've seen in 2013, oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. The Amalekites you've seen in 2013, you will see them no more. You will see them no more. They will not steal from you this year. In the name of Jesus Christ, advance on every side. Advance on every side. Make progress on every side. I stand in the place of a priest and a prophet, and I declare you covered in the name of Jesus. That as you go to walk in 2014, heaven will be walking with you. Heaven will be giving you victory. Jehovah Nissi becomes your God. Jehovah Nissi banners over you. Jehovah Nissi covers you up. He will shield you from the Amalekites. He will preserve you from their attacks. You will not see reproach in 2014. Every remnant of the Amalekites wiped out from around you. If you receive a shout, a big amen in the house of... Stretch your hands, let's pray. Father, wherever doors have been opened for Amalekites to come in, through the spirit of gratitude and thanksgiving, faith, confidence in you, strengthen the inner man. Paul said, I pray that you be strengthened with strength in the inner man, that there be no tiredness and exhaustion. I pray that Father God Almighty, you will answer your children. Take away from us the Amalekites. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.